Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's currently 52 degrees. Going to be rising up to a high of 59 degrees and should have some afternoon showers and wind today. So you might want to be prepared for that. A little bit of a on the cool side for the early spring here in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, a lot of things, of course, happening over the weekend. Love to have your comments and questions about things like the Terri Schiavo case. The Terri Schiavo case has, of course, reached the national media. There are a few things we've brought up here on Christian Worldview that other people have not been talking about, namely how the precedent going to be set by the interference of federal courts and state courts court matters will affect other future rulings and, of course, the cause of liberty and truth in this country. We believe it will have a very adverse effect, and although the loss of Terri Schiavo's life, which apparently is imminent, is certainly nothing to be snubbed at or snubbed our noses at. We need to actually think about the longer term consequences of this sort of action by the courts. We're also concerned to bring out the truth about her husband, who seems to be a person who's been bloodthirsty, wanting to murder her for so many years, and trying to cover up the evidence of his abuse and beatings of this woman. So there are some other issues here that you're not hearing on the national news, the mainstream media, and that's one reason we're here at Christian Worldview to point out some of these things. If you'd like to talk about them, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Of course, the Schiavo case in and of itself is different than abortion because she is on artificial life support. Many people also have what she used to have, that is a feeding tube inserted to them, children with muscular dystrophy, for example, and they are kept alive by artificial means. It's true that if they were born 100 years ago, they would have all died at any rate. Does that make a difference? Well, I'm not an ethicist, and we've been having this discussion not too long ago. It does it with some pastors and whatnot over an informal luncheon at California Dreaming. In fact, last week we had this discussion. Don't think it really matters ethically, but technology does play a role, and if you're interested in talking about that, we could certainly do so. Obviously, when you're going in and going after a live human being dependent on his mother in the womb and just attacking and murdering it, there is some difference between doing that and taking off the artificial support of life later on. So does that really make a difference? Well, whatever difference it makes, it's probably not a great enough deal of difference to categorize it as something entirely different. But, of course, the liberal media would want you to believe so, and furthermore would want you to believe that they have the right, the calling, the duty, the obligation, whatever they might say, to determine who should live or die. So if we want to talk about Terri Schiavo, we'll be happy to do so on this show today. It's an important topic for us as Christians to think about life and how we ought to treat people who are in the conditions that Terri Schiavo is or soon to be was. I also have some economic issues I want to bring up today, so it should be some interesting things to talk about. One is that I had a leftover article sent by my research staff from 10 years ago about the Whiskey Rebellion, a model for our time. This is written by Murray N. Rothbard. This article appeared in the publication The Free Market in September 1994. It starts out by saying, in recent years, Americans have been subjected to a concerted assault upon their national symbols, holidays, and anniversaries. Washington's birthday has been forgotten, and Christopher Columbus has been denigrated as an evil Euro-white male, while new and obscure anniversary celebrations have been foisted upon us, such as, I suppose, Martin Luther King. New heroes have been manufactured to represent oppressed groups and paraded before us for our titillation. There's nothing wrong, however, with the process of uncovering important and buried facts about our past. In particular, there's one widespread group of the oppressed that are still and increasingly denigrated and scorned. The hapless American taxpayer. This year is the bicentenary of an important American event, the rising up of American taxpayers to refuse payment of a hated tax. In this case, an excise tax on whiskey. The whiskey rebellion has long been known to historians, but recent studies have shown that its true nature and importance have been distorted by friend and foe alike. The official view of the whiskey rebellion is that four countries of western counties of western Pennsylvania refused to pay an excise tax on whiskey that had been levied by a proposal of the Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton in the spring of 1791 as part of his excise tax proposal for federal assumption of the public debts in several states. Western Pennsylvanians failed to pay the tax, and this view says until protests, demonstrations, and some roughing up of tax collectors was in Western Pennsylvania caused President Washington to call up 13,000-man army in the summer and the fall of 1794 to suppress the insurrection. A localized but dramatic challenge to federal tax levying authority had been met and defeated. The forces of federal law and order were safe. Here we have Rothbard. I'm not going to be able to read this whole article, but he's talking about President Washington and Hamilton choosing to team up to attack these people. And as I skip down through the article, Rothbard says, the whiskey tax was particularly hated in the backcountry because whiskey production and distilling were widespread. Whiskey was not only a home product for most farmers, it was often used as a medium of exchange in transactions. Yes, you can use something other than green Federal Reserve notes as money, folks, or euros or things like that that governments produce. Furthermore, in keeping with Hamilton's program, the tax bore more heavily upon the smaller distilleries. As a result, many large distilleries supported the tax as a means of crippling their small and more numerous competitors. Western Pennsylvania, then, was only the tip of the iceberg. The point is that all other backcountry areas, the whiskey tax was never paid. Opposition to the federal excise tax program was one of the causes of the emerging Democrat-Republican Party and of the Jeffersonian Revolution of 1800. Indeed, one of the accomplishments of the first Jefferson term as president was to repeal the entire Federalist excise tax program. In Kentucky, whiskey tax delinquents paid up only when it was clear the tax itself was going to be repealed. Skips on, except during the War of 1812, the federal government never again dared to impose an internal excise tax until the North transformed the American Constitution by centralizing the nation during the war between the states. One of the evil fruits of this war was the permanent federal sin tax on liquor and tobacco, to say nothing more of the federal income tax, an abomination and tyranny even more oppressive than an excise. Why didn't the previous historians know about this widespread nonviolent rebellion? Because both sides engaged in an open conspiracy to cover up the facts. Yes, this is a high-level academic saying that there's an open conspiracy. Rothbard was, by the way, a professor at University of Nevada, Las Vegas for many years and one of the foremost leading so-called free market or so-called Austrian economists in history, last 200 years at any rate. Obviously, the rebels didn't want to call a lot of attention to bringing there being in a state of illegality. They knew very well, that if they had tried to enforce or send an army into the rest of the backcountry, they would have failed. Kentucky and perhaps other areas would succeeded from the Union then and there. Both contemporary sides were happy to cover up the truth, and historians fell for the deception. The Whiskey Rebellion, then considered properly, was a victory for liberty and property than for federal taxation. Perhaps this lesson will inspire the latter generation of American taxpayers who are so harried by the downtrodden as to make the whiskey or stamp taxes of old seem like paradise. Always interesting to read a little bit of history, and Murray Rothbard, nobody does it better than Murray Rothbard as far as an economic historian goes. He's just an excellent person who has come up with just a tremendous amount of information over the years on various topics. And it's very intriguing to know something about the history of things like the Whiskey Rebellion. I hope that's a good start for the show. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing that roughage for your brain this morning here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A number of news stories hit the wire. I thought I'd mention some of this morning in case any listeners are interested in discussing some of these themes today. There was a news story that came out in Yahoo about China. It says, Yahoo.com. In 4 years, the people there will follow market rules and apply for bankruptcy according to the same laws and regulation as foreign companies and foreign and private companies. The Xinhua news agency said in a report quoting Xiao Ning, vice minister of the agency in charge of state assets. Xiao said the plan by the state-owned Asset Supervision and Administration Commission to force state companies to survive on their own merits had been approved by China's cabinet, the State Council, in February. So some people are saying, well, is China going to become more free market than America? Are they really left socialism? Well, I sort of doubt that. People with political power do not give up their power that easily, and these communists over there are not going to be really that eager to give up their power, as many people think. Nevertheless, it is interesting that they're giving some lip service that they're not going to use taxpayer money to bail out failed businesses, as communists have done for years and years. That's why they become so unproductive and why the assets they have decay and their infrastructure and industry is so inefficient, because governments keep bailing them out. Well, now they're saying they're actually going to stop doing that in China, which should be somewhat interesting news to watch. So keep an eye on China, as we always should at any rate. Of course, in the United States, things aren't going quite that well. We'll find that government is already thinking about doing some other bailouts coming up here. For instance, we have Fannie Mae, which is screaming danger. Rich Sofor is reporting from a March 18th article. Interesting developments in the markets, he says. The nation's largest mortgage player, Fannie Mae, is now circling the drain. Over the last 6 months, Fannie Mae has dropped over 31%. That's a $23 billion loss. Fannie is not merely the second largest financial entity in the country after Citibank. Via her mortgage securitization, she's the engine of real estate asset inflation, the motor of Bubble 2. With a balance sheet larger than the Federal Reserve's, Fannie is arguably That's hard to believe, that has a balance sheet larger than the Federal Reserve. But at any rate, Fannie is arguably larger, a larger creator of money and credit than the Fed itself. Make no mistake, Fannie is a vital keystone of the U.S. Ponzi pyramid economy. If this engine of asset inflation is shut down, the Fed will face grim choices in replacing Fannie's fire hose-like credit creation. But the Fannie collapse is only the beginning, not the end, of a dismal process. Fannie is screaming danger to anyone who will listen. And he also goes down and talks a little later in the article. The nation's largest employer, best known company, mortgage player, and the Dow member General Motors is also circling the drain. GM has given up 40% of its value, or $12.5 billion, recently. Today, wow. So here we have. Today, 3/18/05, a prominent Bloomberg economist recommended GM file Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They just have too much debt. Well, at any rate, we have some things going on in the market which are interesting to watch, and not just Fannie Mae and GM, but those two companies and many other companies were going to be affected by any kind of economic problems that are coming up in the near future. Maybe George Bush is up to something we don't know about. Who knows? I'm sure that he has many things up his sleeves that we haven't yet seen. So something else to watch in the news. And if you have, if you want some investment advice, think about the collapse that might occur if General Motors were to go down. What would actually happen to the stock market if that company ever went bankrupt? It's one of the largest companies in the world. And if Fannie Mae and General Motors are truly circling the drain, then we ought to be taking steps to protect ourselves by using what we call put options on those stocks and in the market in particular, as well as making sure we have a good hedge set forward in things like gold and silver. I'm not recommending a large amount of these insurance products like gold and silver, but some of them can be very helpful, especially if we have a problem with credit or we have a problem with inflation. Other things happening in the news. Remember this horrible story about Red Lake, Minnesota, this neo-Nazi kid who shot his two of his family members and then went to school and shot a bunch more folks. Here we have another report. Red Lake, Minnesota. The obituary in the small-town paper was heartbreaking. Chase Albert Becca Lucier, born December 23, 1989, died March 21st at Red Lake High School, a freshman who enjoyed playing basketball and loved computer games. Six paragraphs down, beside the photo of a chubby-cheeked, smiling boy, came the sentence, "He spent his time juggling life between his family and his son." A father at 15, dead 3 months later, shot with eight others by alienated, despondent upperclassmen who, at the end of his 10-minute walk through Red Lake High School, turned one of his guns on himself. Very sad. Interesting that is the case there, but just a tragedy, again, of what's going on in rural public schools. The article continues a little ways down. On website postings, Weese described himself as nothing but your average Native American stoner and described his life on the reservation as every man's nightmare. This place never changes, and it never will. Well, it may be a nightmare living into the socialist or subsidized reservation. That may well be true. Doesn't justify murder and what this kid did. The Minnesota survey of Red Lake students said they assaulted other classmates and used more alcohol and drugs than other students across the state. Interesting. Skipping on in the article, Sister Patricia Wallace has lived at the reservation off and on since 1951, working at a mission that is a school and convent. To Wallace, the problems here come from grinding, dehumanizing, relentless poverty. Why is it that Indians tend to be so impoverished in the United States? Anybody who drives out into the West and sees some of the vast expanses of area that's usable land and so forth, natural resources galore, wonders why, when they come to a small enclave of Indian villages or so-called villages, you see it immediately identified by people selling silver on the side of the road, or lots of junk cars piled up in people's yards, trash, just a terrible, looks like impoverishment of folks. Well, a lot of these people receive enormous subsidies from the state and become welfare dependent. huge amount of welfare comes to the Indian tribes, and therefore it creates a dependency class. There's a lack of work ethic, possibly because of government intervention that's destroyed these people's lives. There is so much that could be done with the desert, even if it means just putting up wind generators. We were driving through Arizona recently and saw how windy it could be in the desert, and the land is so cheap there to put up these windmills. You would think that something simple like that, like they have in Palm Springs, could be valuable for these people that are otherwise living in a wasteland. I'm not sure that that's a good activity. I'm just making a suggestion here. There's a lot that can be done out in the desert, and nothing is being done. These people are just addicted to the welfare state and receiving handouts. One other quick note on this. In fact, one of our research staff sent up, American Indians battle suicide poverty because they live in the paragon of socialism, March 26, 2005. Red Lake, Minnesota, again, the obituary... I just read that. I got my thing twice here. Excuse me, folks. My researcher was simply following up with what I just said. Anyway, yeah, there's lots of socialism leads to these kinds of problems. And indeed, in socialist countries, you had not only collapse nationally, but you also find on a local scale other kinds of collapses that go on simply because people don't have anything to do with their time and don't want to work because of their dependency through the welfare state programs. Come up against a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a sec.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're trying to do that exact thing here on Christian Worldview today. We have a couple of announcements that need to be brought up. First of all, the 2005 Southern History Conference coming up April 4th through 7th of this year, 2005, in Greenville, South Carolina. It will be held at the Spanish-speaking church. There'll be signs posted to you. If you can't read Spanish, it's all right. You'll find it there at 211 White Oak Road. 211 White Oak Road. That's just off of North Pleasantburg Drive here in Greenville, South Carolina. The admission is free, and it starts at 7 o'clock. The featured speaker every night will be Pastor John Weaver from Freedom Ministries. He'll be talking about the story of Washington's Klan, Who Are the Rebels, The Palmyra Massacre, and The Christian Character of Robert E. Lee. Weaver will be speaking every night around 7:45 p.m. The first part of the meeting will be conducted by one of four other theologians in town, most of which come from the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. The first night, however, will be from Pastor Carl Robbins of Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, and he'll be talking on Arl Dabney as a social conservative. Morton Smith will be the next speaker the next following night. We'll be talking about the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer and the Confederate cause. Dr. Joseph Piper, the president of the seminary, will talk about the character of Stonewall Jackson the following night. And Dr. Nick Wilborn from the seminary will talk on the life and ministry of John Girardeau on the following evening. So we see here a good lineup of folks. We hope you can attend that meeting here in Greenville, South Carolina. Admission is free. We will be broadcasting at least tape-delayed versions of the Southern History Conference here on the Tyranny Response Network, FYI, in case for some reason you miss it, or if you're out of the area, obviously. It may interest you to know also that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. And a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of you, our listeners, a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-225-0882 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Also want to remind you this morning that we have the meeting of the Americans for Constitutional Government, the ACG group. They'll be meeting at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road. That's right between I-85 and Hudson Road or Patewood Road on Pelham. So if you can, attend this morning, 10 o'clock till noon. They say, please join us every fourth Monday. The meeting is free. You'll be better informed citizen for having spent the 2 hours there each month. So if you can, come out to the meeting. It's run by Ann Campbell. It's a great meeting. I've spoken there on a number of occasions, and they're very supportive of not only the Tyranny Response Network, but of true conservative and or libertarian values. And we would encourage all folks to make it out who can. Realize most people have to work. But I feel that way when I'm probably the youngest member at age 42 sitting in the audience at the Americans for Constitution Government meeting. But I'm glad to see there are so many informed citizens working and talking about the issues of the day regarding to public policy and trying to reform government, which is a daunting task, I might say. But at any rate, that meeting's today. Hope you all can make it. I'll be there, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock this morning or a little thereafter to meet with those folks. Had a good meeting last Thursday night at the Greenville Taxpayers Association. All of you should be attending the Greenville Taxpayers Association when you can. It's a good group, and they're fighting for your rights, trying to oppose government tyranny over you when the government tries to, and successfully does, take more of your hard-earned money and put it into more of its welfare state kind of programs, including the infamous public school. So if you can attend the fourth Thursday of every month at the Greenville County Library, you can go to the taxpayer meeting. It was just held last week, so now the next meeting will be in April. At any rate, we have a number of good things going on here in Greenville. We have a number of good things going on elsewhere I know in the world, but just wanted to let you all know that those things are available here in town. I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to Christian Exodus people as you begin coming into the Greenville area. Glad that you're doing so. We're, of course, very supportive of your efforts in general. The Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party are comprised in the Christian Exodus movement largely, although there are many who are still hanging on to the Republican Party, believing there might be some chance of reforming the Republican Party there or here in Greenville. Well, welcome as you come in, and we want to be supportive of you as you're looking for jobs and looking to settle here in the area and begin to make a difference for not only Christ, but for the vision of liberty here and the Founding Fathers, the vision of the Founding Fathers here in America. At any rate, we have a couple other things that have come up from our research department I wanted to go over. One is this article that one of our researchers found out by Butler Schaefer from, I believe he teaches at Southwestern University. The Most Dangerous of Drugs is the title of this, and it's found at lewrockwell.com. Lew Rockwell, LewRockwell.com, has some of the best writing you can get for deep-thinking people on the Internet. So I would encourage you to look over there. In fact, some of our regular TRN correspondents and my fellow Times Examiner authors have written for LouRockwell.com and do regularly. I'm thinking specifically of Dr. Stephen Yates. He's frequently there. And there are others such as Professor Tim Terrell of Wofford College, an Austrian economist. Definitely worthwhile reading some of these things that come down through LouRockwell.com. In fact, I'm just getting the signal that we're having to run to a break here. I'll tell you what, when we get back from the top of the hour, the first thing we're going to do is to talk about this particular article by Butler. Is that his name, Butler? Butler Schaefer. So I was thinking for myself, man, this must be the guy's last name. Maybe I go back and check that. No, it's Butler Schaefer, the most dangerous of drugs. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview, the 12th week of the Tyranny Response Network's broadcasting, especially of this show, the Christian Worldview show with Dr. John Coben. Hope it's been of use to you. It's been encouraging to hear so many more listeners who are tuning into the show either through the webcast that's accessible at policyofliberty.net or here at the FM airways, as limited as they are, still in Greenville. Still some other plans to try to begin upgrading our facilities to make our broadcast reach further this week, so we'll see if we actually can do that. And if that does occur, we'll hope that that many of you will be able to encourage your friends who currently are not able to receive the FM signal in upstate South Carolina to go ahead and try to do so again. It's currently 52 degrees in Greenville. The high is going to be 59 degrees today. Should be some afternoon showers and wind. Otherwise, just a sort of a cool early spring day here in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, we've been talking about Butler Schaefer, who has a couple articles the research staff have pulled up. He's from the Southwestern School of Law, certainly a libertarian, and no doubt will raise a lot of controversy by some of the things he has to say. But I think some of his points are very well taken, and I appreciate some of the articles that have been forwarded to me. The Most Dangerous of Drugs is the title of this worst one. It appears at lewrockwell.com. lewrockwell.com is a tremendous resource for thinking people. He says, if Adolf Hitler had a television to assist him in his efforts to ban the use of tobacco, I wonder how similar his campaign would have been to the televised congressional circus now being conducted against steroids. In the same frenzied self-righteousness with which Congress supports military wars against the lives of innocents, the domestic wars against domestic liberties, hearings into the dangerous nature and use of steroids are nudging Scott Peterson, Michael Jackson, Robert Blake, and even Martha Stewart from the television center stage. The tone of this current statist inquisition is well expressed by Congressman Tom Lantos, a Democrat from California. Lantos, who never met an expansion of state power they did not immediately embrace, referred to steroid manufacturers as an arrogant industry that chooses to play, to not play by the rules. Skipping down a little further, it is those who are in the market for buying and selling substances voluntarily chosen by their consumers who must be attacked. That arrogance lies in those who presume the authority to exercise coercive power over the free choices of individuals would never enter into the mindset of Mr. Lantos. Of course, he's a Democrat. He's out there to serve the public interest. Please, please, this is a joke. Skipping down a little further. He says, at the same time, I'm a member of that rapidly decreasing minority who believes that each person is the owner of his or her body and, consistent with ownership principles, should be in uninhibited control over themselves. To suggest that the state should be able to usurp such control, particularly when ostensibly for the good of the person intruded upon, is to revert to the mentality that burned witches at the stake, in order to save the soul of the person thus possessed. Of course, there's some doubt about all of that, because I think that is blown out of proportion as well by historians, revisionist historians. But the idea that a person should be able to own his body and his labors is consistent not only with the vision of the founders, but I think of biblical principles. And from a Christian worldview, we need to support ideas that allow people to make free choices with their bodies. Now, that may be shocking for some of you to hear. But and especially because those of us who are Christians want to promote morality, at least in the sense that we preach it to people, I don't think we want to use the state, however, to force people to conform to the particular behavior that we want. There are several reasons for that. One is we don't believe the state is the proper institution, at least I don't. Some theonomists I know, or all theonomists I suppose would in theory believe this, but that the state is the proper progenitor or enforcer of good rules in society, that we need states because states will legitimize or make things more moral for us, a better quality of life in terms of moral behavior. I don't believe that happens. I think states actually cause the opposite, that we actually have degeneration and breakdown of moral standards because of states. And the best choice is to allow people to be free to do as they want, even if it means to imbibe terrible drugs. And then our job as Christians, especially, is to carry forth the gospel and to preach to these people and tell them what they're doing is wrong and that what they're doing will lead them to hell, that will not be good for their souls or good for other people, and try to persuade them, not by force of the sword of the state, but by force of reason, to repent and change their lives. Radical thought for many folks. No, we need to have the government do it for us. We can't do that. Government's proper role. This is a big issue in the Christian worldview, but they're... in a nutshell, is a good portion of my view. I want to quickly finish this before we come to next part, an upcoming break here. These breaks come by very quickly. But he says, in continuing this article, Butler says, if people pushers were truly desirous of benefiting others rather than exercising power over them, they could accomplish their ends by conducting research into various foods, drugs, and other substances and making known the results of this research to people who would then be free to incorporate such information into their personal cost-benefit analyses regarding their use. Certainly true. But people pushers have never been content with simply informing others. They demand the obedience of their neighbors to their values. Yes, a far more dangerous school-induced threat to the minds and bodies of the innocents, he continues on later in the article, by conditioning students in the mindset of institutionally structured authority to which they are to subordinate their wills and lives, the government school system has played an essential role in the creation of brigades of automatons whose primary function is to serve the state. Where else but in such schools do children learn to recite their daily catechisms of allegiance to the state and to salute their banner under which they are expected to identify and organize themselves? Skipping on, he says, we laugh at Islamic suicide bombers who respond to promises of 72 virgins awaiting them in the next life and forget that young Americans have been lured into the service of the war machine with a different set of promises. The learning of new skills, college tuition, and the prospect of discovering what was never the intention nor the capacity of government schools to provide, that is, to be all that you can be. It's a good article, and he comes at the end and he says, we must help our children resist the indoctrination that would make them slaves of the state, resources to be employed on behalf of the interest of those in power. And I think we could all agree with that. If we have the state on that kind of a pedestal, it becomes an idol of the people. It becomes an opiate. It becomes the wrong focus, especially for those of us who hold a Christian worldview. But for all of those who love liberty and love the vision of the founding fathers, we cannot simply become automatons or indoctrinated resources that the state uses for its whims and who believe simply or walk in lockstep with statist principles. Well, if you have a comment about this libertarian's perspective of the state or my perspective of the state, appreciate the phone call this morning. Get in touch with us at Christian Worldview. We have a great opportunity to converse about these things. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Another article by Butler Schaefer appearing at lewrockwell.com is entitled Disconnecting the State's Feeding Tubes, of course, with the allusion to Terry Schiavo's horrible and deplorable condition now, based on what these basically these criminals have indicated or the action they have taken. Any rate, Disconnecting the State's Feeding Tubes by Butler Schaefer. In a 1951 film, he says, called The Big Carnival, was the story of a once-famous journalist trying to reestablish his career at a small-town newspaper. The reporter played by Kirk Douglas, learned of a man trapped in an underground cave, Seizing the opportunity, the journalist took control of the news story, sending out reports to the big city papers, and in the process, delaying rescue efforts in order to extend the drama as long as he could. And in short order, the incident acquired national significance, while local rescue efforts literally became a carnival. The trapped man died largely because of the reporter's interference with rescue attempts. My mind keeps racing back to this film as I watch the circus atmosphere created by the sad case of Terry Schiavo. While I sympathize with the positions of Terry's husbands, her parents, and other relatives, I find the intrusions of politicians, the media, and self-appointed interest groups akin to Kirk Douglas's self-indulgent reporter. He skips skipping down in his article. He says, technological changes inevitably produce the need to revisit long-held principles, not so much for the purpose of changing our standards of the propriety, but also to see how they find expression in a constantly changing world. And skipping down a little further, it's difficult to imagine any social topic that is not directed by the heavy hand of competing political ideologies. I have long been had the view that that one becomes a person at the moment of conception, when one's DNA comes into being. I once had a feminist colleague who insisted that a baby did not acquire DNA until after it was born, a process she was unable to explain. Well, feminists are not able to explain a lot of things, frankly. It's a good thing. We understand why the scripture says it's a curse to us when women rule over us, for those of us who hold to a Christian worldview. But this is just, in the case especially of feminists, I'd rather have a whole lot more Deborahs than any George Bush ruling over me. Not to say that men can't be worse than women, but I'll tell you, these feminists are especially tweaked in the brain. They don't get it, folks, these radical feminist people. And this is just one example. How in the world do you acquire the DNA after birth? Well, at any rate, skipping down through this article, you can see at once that neither the state nor the media are equipped to address such questions. Matters of life and death are simply too important to be entrusted to politicians, judges, bureaucrats, and radio and television gas bags. That's a good descriptive term for it, gas bags. The bloody and dehumanizing record of political systems in their treatment of life disqualifies them. In a world that is becoming increasingly decentralized, such inquiries are best left in the hands of individuals faced with the making of decisions on their own lives. Thus, while I consider personhood to begin at conception, I am unwilling to have the state intervene to direct the mother regarding how to deal with her pregnancy. Well, this is a problem, at any rate. You see, folks, the state is, there is an issue, there is a problem with the state legislating any kind of moral activities, but if there is to be government, if we are to actually have a government and not anarchy, the main reason we have government is to protect us from predators, to protect the rights that God gives us of life, liberty, and property. One problem that many libertarians have is that they don't realize or don't see that abortion itself is the actual attacking of another human being, a person who has God-given rights. It is a slaughter at a rate of 4,000 per day of innocent human beings, innocent persons before God, and certainly should be persons before the law, even though they're not considered thus. So in this case, I have to disagree with Butler's understanding, although he believes life begins at conception. I'm going to go ahead and let people get killed. The whole reason you need to have a government is to prevent this kind of activity. Otherwise, let's just go ahead and put on the revolvers, and maybe that'd be better anyway, walk around with our own measure of self-defense and forget about having government at all. We don't need to have it, period, if it's not going to protect us from predators, and especially to protect the innocent and unborn from her mother, from the person, the baby's mother, the would-be baby's mother, and the doctor and staff who are going to assault and kill it. At any rate, let's continue on with his article. In the life and death issues, as in other areas of human endeavor, it is time for us to move on to alternative ways of making decisions. Skipping on, the state has no creative role to play, but operates only as a hindrance. And I couldn't agree more. The state does not have a creative role in this. It only is a hindrance to human ingenuity, to progress, advancement. It is a parasitic activity that actually is harmful to us. The state, in other words, is brain dead, he says. Its power derives largely from inertia, i.e. the unwillingness of well-conditioned populace to consider alternative systems rather than from conviction. And we're very appreciative of that article. Again, I don't agree. On this show, we read a lot of people we don't necessarily agree with, and we're thankful that we can do that critically here on Christian Worldview. But in large measure, I think Mr. Butler Schaefer's ideas are absolutely right about the state. I just happen to disagree with him on his position on abortion, and I think for good reason. I would encourage all of you to do the same. There is no way to be a libertarian, in my view, consistently, and be anything other than pro-life. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We come up against a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help with advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Again, the 12th week of our broadcast, Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning, having a great time here, helping people think better. That's the main reason we have this show, and we are appreciative of all your support. We have this morning a caller on the line. Chuck is joining us, and welcome to the show, Chuck.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to hear you this morning.
Thanks.
And I wanted to call and thank you for putting me on to a new author. I hadn't read anything by Butler Schaefer before. And it's an interesting article he has, although I'm with you. I disagree about this. I don't really understand his reasoning, how he could say that a baby is a person and yet not want the same protection. The state has a legitimate role in protecting people from each other and protecting us from predators. There are plenty of things that they're into that they shouldn't be into, but this is one that's absolutely legitimate. And to abandon it is lunacy in my mind.
Yeah, well, as I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly on this. I
Otherwise, let's just go to anarchy. I mean, why do we want to have a tax fund or taxpayer-funded state that robs us, essentially, or that requires us to pay in for functions of protection or justice and so forth? If we're not going to get it, I'd rather not pay. If they're going to go ahead and slaughter people or allow people to be slaughtered and not give us any protections, then let's just dump the thing. I'd rather have all my money, at least, and they're still going to carry on the way they are at any rate. So I agree with you entirely. If we have government, the government's role is to protect us from predators, and there's certainly nobody that needs a greater protection than the unborn.
Yeah, I'm sure you're like me. In school, you learned a lot about checks and balances, and I think a lot of those seem to be missing. The one thing, obviously, the states don't have the check on the federal government that they once did, and that's maybe we could get a writing campaign or something going to repeal the 14th Amendment. And maybe getting my amendments mixed up, that may be the 15th, the direct election of senators.
Yeah, that might be the 17th, if I'm not, I may be mistaken. The 15th gave African Americans or black people the right to vote and have political rights. The 16th Amendment gave Congress the right to tax incomes from any source derived. And I think the 17th changed how the House senators were elected.
I just verified that. You're right.
Yeah, I think that's. You did verify it. Okay. Well, my memory does serve then. That's an interesting amendment because it used to be, of course, senators. People don't realize this, but senators were just appointed by governors, giving that governor of the state a lot of power. And when that was taken away from him, the governor not only lost power, but you ended up having the politicizing of the Senate, which wasn't intended by the founding fathers. And it may be, there's pros and cons of this, because some people say, well, look, obviously our government has become debilitated by not having, or by having the 17th Amendment. But there are other people who would say, look, beforehand there was so much corruption at the state level where they're paying off their pals by sending them to Washington and not really doing what the people wanted. They were promoting what monopoly interests and wealthy wanted to do through the Senates. Therefore it was a bad thing. For instance, I think when was the amendment, Chuck? It was 1920. So the whole Federal Reserve Act was brought into existence, and in large measure the Internal Revenue Service were brought in under the state appointed or the governor appointed senators. Am I mistaken about that?
That sounds about right to me too. Apparently there was a lot of really bad stuff going on about that time. And you know, another thing we hear about that era is this concept of the robber barons, which I think is not correct. And it may be as much of a myth as the argument you're telling us about, that the people have made, that there was too much corruption at the state level, and that was the excuse for the 17th Amendment. And I've heard a similar rationalization for the 16th Amendment. And actually, I've got a little bit of a sympathy with that one, that because the common people were paying tariffs, they thought, well, here are these people that are making a lot more money on their bonds and their stocks and so forth, not paying anything. So they wanted those people to pay too.
Yeah, I think the argument was more that they had special privileges government enacts a tariff, for instance, and because they enact a tariff, they get monopoly privileges and those profits. It translates that into stock dividends, the interest on bonds, and we have a technical snafu here, obviously.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that you or was that on your end or our end? We had all these people making a lot of money off of their government monopoly privileged tariff profits through their businesses, and then they would live on the bond interest and the dividends. And I think if you read the congressional record, Congress, and especially the Democrats, who were the more libertarian or conservative at the time, were fiscal conservative at the time, were going after these people, saying, "Look, you're financing the whole government by padding the coffers of the government with the tariff money, but you're also padding your own pockets. We think you who have privileges should pay up via this incomes tax on your passive incomes." And of course, it was later supplanted by FDR and others to include earnings and wages from people, which it never was intended to originally include. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, it's interesting how all these things entwine together. There's some cautionary things that come out of this, that you got to be really careful when they tell you they want to reform something, because you may end up with a much worse situation than you had before.
They probably could never have imagined what they were getting themselves into in the future by passing these rules in 1913 for the 16th Amendment, assuming it was ratified. There's a lot of question about whether or not it was even ratified.
That's right, and I think that was true for both the 16th and 17th Amendments.
Right.
So that's another cautionary tale, is anytime something like this is in progress, you really ought to watch it very closely. I think we probably pay better attention to our election of president and that kind of thing. They'll recount and recount the ballots. But these things have a lot more lasting impact.
Yeah. Well, it's a great comment and a great call, Chuck. I really appreciate your participating on the show this morning, and I think you've made some great points.
Yeah, good day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chuck. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and it's just time to come up to another break again, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from, as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. About 50, low 50s in Greenville right now. It's going to get up to only 59 degrees today. Have some afternoon showers and wind, so be prepared on this rather cool spring morning, early spring morning here in Greenville, South Carolina. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-225-0882 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com /firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Also want to give a plug this morning for the Times Examiner. Our friends there, Bob Dill, the publisher, as well as Laverl, be willing to take your phone call for a subscription at 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576. Or you can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville or any of the other racks that have the Times Examiner around town. This is your paper, folks, if you like true conservative and libertarian columnists, not only yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, or other locals like Ben Graydon and Stephen Yates, but also nationally syndicated columnists like Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Charlie Reese, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Pat Buchanan, and others. This is your magazine also to get the true conservative or libertarian slant on the news when it's happening locally here in Greenville. So Christian Exodus people especially, give a call, 864-268-0576. Others who are listening around the country and want to just receive a paper for only $20 a year to have it weekly delivered to your door. So actually, it's $22 a year if you're out of state, $20 in state. And these rates will rise by $5 on April 1st. So take advantage of getting your copy of the Times Examiner and read great columns that are in there. My column is the next few weeks and last week have been on Christian views on rebellion. I would encourage you all to read those things. They're great food for thought and really things that we need to be thinking about as Christians. That is the whole subject of civil disobedience. I wanted to catch a couple of quick news stories before we go back to a couple other deeper things, maybe get some economics in today as well. The Taiwanese are protesting the anti-secession law. Reuters tells us, and Alice Hung is the Alice, that's a good name for a reporter, Alice Hung. Taipei, Taiwan, hundreds of thousands of people are chanting oppose war, love Taiwan. Joined President Chen Shui-bian yesterday to protest China's anti-secession law that sanctions the use of force against the island. The law codified Beijing's long-standing threat to attack Taiwan, authorizing the use of non-peaceful measures against the democratically ruled island if it pushes for formal statehood. Taiwan is in such a sad position. It's like an international orphan. If we don't stand up and fight, no one will fight for us, said 23-year-old student Jonathan Lin. We should not be afraid of China. If they invade, I'm willing to fight to the last moment. China has never ruled Taiwan, not even for one day, yet they treat us as part of their territory, said Huang Mengyu, who took his wife and 2-year-old daughter to join a rally after a nearly 10-hour bus ride from the southern county of Pingtung. The United States has criticized the anti-secession law, calling its passage unfortunate and a potential setback to cross-strait relations. Washington has urged the archivals to resume fence-mending talks stalled since 1999. We need to be very careful on a couple of counts. One is that we always love secession. Secession is a good thing. It's a way for us to escape from the evil hand and tyranny of a state. But secondly, in the case of Taiwan, we need to support these poor people who would be maligned, manhandled, and tormented if they were ever again brought under the rule of the communists that are in mainland China. China is not the friend of liberty, not the friend of the Christian, not the friend of the founding fathers. And we need to be supportive of any of Taiwan's effort to defend itself against the evil regime there in China. So take note of that, folks. Christians especially should never be in favor of communism. There's a big movement called Liberation Theology in the Catholic Church, and Ronald Sider has sponsored among the liberal Christian movement in Protestant churches in America the idea of communism or socialism being a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's a harmful thing. It detracts from liberty. It takes away from our Christian values, and it promotes only the exaltation of the state and anti-Christian notions. So we need to always bear in mind that the Christian worldview is not a communist worldview. Even though there were communal activities that occurred in Acts chapter 4, does not mean that God has set forth socialism as a means for the organization of society. Well, we have a couple other interesting things that have come up today. I want to talk about these and skip to these. Christian Exodus leader Corey Burnell sent me over this morning a message from Michael Perutka from the Constitution Party's presidential candidate last year on the Terry Schiavo case. And here is what Mr. Perutka has to say. Mr. Perutka, who is a lawyer, somebody corrected me recently. I've been calling the vice presidential candidate the lawyer. And in fact, he was a pastor. This is the Constitution Party's former presidential candidate is the lawyer. And he says, the governor and the president namely Jeb Bush and George W. Bush, have murdered Terri Schiavo. Someone has to say it. Resurrection Sunday morning, 2005. Dear friends of the Constitutional Republic, yesterday I spoke to a good friend of mine in Florida. My friend is also my business partner, and we discussed business for a few minutes. But our hearts were both heavy in the public murder of Terri Schiavo. My partner said something that caught me short and took my breath away. He said, "Well, at least Jeb Bush tried to do something. He tried to save her life." I felt my blood rising. "No," I told my longtime friend. Then I found myself saying a little louder, "No," I repeated, "he did no such thing." What infuriated me was the realization that they, the Bushes and the media pundits, had convinced my good friend that they had tried to save her life. To the contrary, I rushed to explain to him, "The actions and explanations of Jeb and George Bush are the thinnest sophistry and cannot be viewed as credible in any to any sentient person. There is no reason to believe Government Bush or President Bush when they say that they tried to help Terri Schiavo. In fact, they are accomplices to murder. And make no mistake, this is murder. Murder most foul. Murder carried out in broad daylight by a judge, a police force, the governor of Florida, and the president of the United States. That's right. George Bush, against whom I ran for president, has murdered Terri Schiavo. As I stated in my open letter to both Governor Bush and President Bush, they have not only the means and the ability to save her life, but the affirmative duty to do so. Right now, they have hidden behind the thin veil that, as executives, they are subject to the opinions of judges, which they call the rule of law, when it's convenient for them to do so. But the opinions of state or federal judges are not the rule of law. They are merely opinions. The governor of Florida, by his oath of office, has an affirmative duty to uphold the law and protect innocent life in his jurisdiction, regardless of what any judge says. Moreover, his police powers extend to the prevention of crimes, including murder. The well-publicized murder of Terri Schiavo is being carried out before him while he wrings his hands, expecting us to believe that he would stop, but it just can't. Yes, he can. The police do not work for the judicial branch of government. They work for the executive. This is why all abortion could be stopped by George W. Bush, by the way, at any moment, just using the military to protect life, protect us, protect unborn from predators. But at any rate, I continue with Peruca's story. And does George W. Bush really expect us to believe that he can send our sons and daughters to all corners of the world fighting terrorists, but that he can't stop the terrorist act of public execution taking place in Florida? 5 years ago on Easter Sunday morning, the U.S. Justice Department thought they had the authority to raid a Florida home to steal Elian Gonzalez from his mother's family. So why can't they steal Terri Schiavo from those who are killing her? When I consider these things, I ask myself why these brothers, who claim to be Christian, would not use the authority and means at their disposal to stop this terrorist in this terror in America. Much more could be said about this, but you get the idea. They just want to look like they care about Terri Schiavo, or you, or me, or the Constitution, or America, but they don't. When they have thoroughly convinced that judges that can make up the law, even to the extent that they can murder our daughters in front of our eyes, then they can do anything that they want. Our founders recognized that all law, liberty, and government come from God. They founded our country on the presumption that Christ is Lord. He still is Lord. He always was and always will be. Amen. This murder and the Bush brothers are accomplices for God, family, and the Republic. Michael A. Peruca. Well, I couldn't agree more, except for something in the last sentences here, and that is that government comes from God. I think he's implying that government comes from God in the sense that it's used to uphold the law of God in the world, the theonomic position, which I don't agree with at all. But I do believe that government is established among men to protect us from predators, so the result is effectively the same. And that's why, I think people in the Constitution Party versus pro-life libertarians can get together on so many crucial issues, including this one. So appreciate Christian Exodus forwarding that to me this morning, and I think he's hit the nail right on the head. But there are many other things which could be said, as we've talked about earlier, about the Terri Schiavo case. Well, we're overdue for a quick break, and we're going to be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have Joe on the line now. With Joe, we'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Coben. I just want to give you a shout. I've been listening this morning to your call and the letter you just read from Michael. And, you know, I was thinking of three things that really, you know, I've been disturbed over this whole event. I followed it pretty thoroughly. Matter of fact, I've even called, you know, this really, don't take this the wrong way right up front. I called Ross Perot's office to find out why somebody like him could not put together a Green Beret team to go in and rescue her like he did in 1978 in Iran. His executives were held hostage by the Iranian government. Mm-hmm. He told the government, he said, I'm so fed up with what you guys are doing. He basically called them pansies, and he took matters in his own hands. So that has come across, and I was on the phone with his office last week. He's out of the country, unfortunately, and I thought somebody with that kind of power could stop it, even if the president and the governor were so cowardly hiding behind their office. But then the second thing I thought about was Romans 8:28, and I don't know how that fits in. Because, I mean, I've seen things and events in my life that I thought just were hellacious events, Dr. Coben, that seemed so crushing, such a crushing blow to my life at the time, that wound up being good, that wound up turning out the other way. Yeah. All things do work together for good, and I think one of the things that we can look at this is the public awareness that this has brought out. And then a thing I'd like to comment on just a minute, if you would, is Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, you know, we see here that Pharaoh said that if it shall be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then, you know, she shall live. And just, I got to thinking, what if that's where we were in America? Mm. That the king or the president or the officials ever got that kind of power, and it almost looks like that's where we are to a smaller degree. But it really disturbed me that we, the people, live in such fear. And sometimes when you stand in the gap, it's going to cost you maybe your life. But somebody's got to stand in the gap. So any comments on that?
Yeah, well, we don't. I think you're pointing out we don't have a lot of courage here in the country to really stand up for what's right, and it just goes to show how deplorable the American mindset has got to not be as more outraged at what's going on. It also shows the deplorable condition that government has fallen into, or the state, I should say, has fallen into, when you have people like George W. Bush behaving in this way. It's for the sake of those, we have so many who are not Christians listening to the show, Joe, and you quoted Romans 8:28. That verse says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And what Joe's point is, folks, especially for those of you who are not Christians, is that we believe as Christians that all the events of life, especially our own personal lives, do work together under God's providence for something that's good. Even this deplorable, horror, hideous case of Terry Schiavo will work together for good in some way in the sense of God's purpose is being fulfilled. Doesn't mean that the act itself is right. It just means right. That God is in control and working things for the good. And that's what you were pointing out for the sake of those who listen and aren't Christians or familiar with the Bible. So, you know, I think your comments are very well taken. And I think, Joe, you pointed out the real thing going on behind this Schiavo case, that government is trying to usurp a little bit more power. I should say the state's trying to usurp more power for itself, so it will be able to decide who has the right to live and who has the right to die. It already has, in large measure, taken that to itself through Roe versus Wade. But this Schiavo case and the abuse of the judicial process is going to only make that even more powerful for them.
Yeah, and one of my things is, I'll just hang up because I know you got a packed show, but is shows like yours, you know, again, and I see this from time to time, while I don't think that none of us are going to agree 100%, but you've got your purpose in taking this show to another level. But Public View and this show that you're doing, it's going to go against the grain, I would say, more times than not for the average person. But it's to make a person think outside the box and to show truth. And so I appreciate the show.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Joe, and thanks for the call. And yes, we try to do that on Christian Worldview. I'm not ashamed to admit the fact that I'm a pro-life libertarian, but I'm also very interested, willing, and able to talk to people who have slightly different views from the Constitution Party, perhaps, or from other, even whatever remnant of the Republican Party might be left. And what that allows Christian Worldview to be is the true alternative outlet for thinking people. Not people who simply buy the party line or follow in lockstep the Pied Piper of the Democrats or the Republicans, but those who see the scoundrels for what they are and for the scandalous behavior that the state now poses, and indeed are able to lead us in a different direction through our thinking process being changed and through having different views or different information. Well, at any rate, we've come up against our final break here on the show. Appreciate Joe's call once again. We'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information
to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to the last segment of Christian Worldview today, the first day of the 12th week of our broadcast. Appreciate you joining us on the recorded broadcast or by joining us through the radio here, FM station in Greenville, South Carolina, or on the internet webcast. Well, I wanted to actually spend some time today talking about the drug issue. The reason is in our class, my homeschooled student class, and we came up a question that had to do with cocaine, and there are a couple of stories relating to Afghanistan's opium production, as well as the hyperactivity drug being banned, that I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about some issues relating to drug use. But there's just no way we can do that in today's show. I'm going to defer that to tomorrow's show and see if we can't pick it up then, have some lively discussion about drug activity. We'd like to read a couple of headlines, though, that are also interesting today, just from a Christian worldview that we need to be aware of. First of all, Bush irks India by selling fighters. The Washington Times was promoting that Bush has announced the sale of F-16 fighter jets to its anti-terrorism ally, Pakistan. The decision was warmly welcomed by Pakistan, more coolly received by India. This shows our relations are growing stronger, he told Reuters news agency. Somebody could call in and tell me about the government of Pakistan. I have a feeling it's not really too democratic, but I would like to hear more about that. Not something I'm extremely up on at the moment. The decision to sell the fighter jets reflects a shift in American strategy towards South Asia to trying to build a long-term foundations of security and friendship with Pakistan, India, and Afghanistan, the administration official said. Official states previously had cut off the sales of F-16 to Pakistan in retaliation for its nuclear program and testing. Well, at any rate, interesting development there, how we have a shift in American foreign policy towards Pakistan. Also have in the news a problem with a church that was seized. Michael Ernst reports from the church in Salem, greetings from the all-powerful name in Jesus Christ. I'm sending this email where I believe it's a safe location and therefore best not to disclose. We have been removed from the church at Salem by the authorities. Fortunately, we have been able to retrieve the church computer and several other office items so that we are still able to send email updates, at least for now. As the Lord has instructed me, I've begun my fast of all food, water, and medications, although I personally might not be able to write emails after tonight. I trust others here at the church in Salem will keep everyone informed. I assume this is either Salem, Oregon, or Salem in Massachusetts, but doesn't give me all the details. We're interested in these kinds of stories because this is a Christian worldview show, after all, because we're interested in the principles of liberty. And anytime churches are harassed by the state, we want to know about it. Now, in this particular thing, I'm reading this email, just a little bit of it, off to listeners because I'd like you who are more informed of what's happening with this church seizure to let me know, to give a call to the show or send an email so that we might follow up with what's going on. In fact, I just looked here. It looks like it's in New Jersey as I scan down through this email. Salem, New Jersey, church seizure by government officials. If you have any more information on it, do let us know. We'd like to talk about that on Christian Worldview. Also have a news story about talking to federal investigators. This is Carl W. F. Warden saying, what not to do, federal agent contacts. It doesn't matter if they're asking you to help as possible witnesses or just information, or they consider you a suspect of some kind, because so many people try to talk their way out of initial law enforcement to contact situation. They go to prison. Most cops will admit that 70% of the people in prison today wouldn't be there if they just keep their mouths shut. Best examples are Martha Stewart. Stewart was not convicted of stock trading fraud. She was convicted of lying to a federal investigator, which is a federal crime. Don't talk to a federal investigator of any kind for any reason. Or on or off the record, it's always on the record. Anyway, that's an interesting point too, and we want to make sure that you comply with that sort of thing as you take care and fight in light of a litigious, excuse me, I'm in trouble here at the last part here speaking, litigious state. Anyway, appreciate my research staff bringing me that information today. Want to close the show here shortly with just something that I received on kind of a funny story out of internal medicine news. Listerine neat with a chaser. Despite its hefty alcohol content, mouthwash is not hypothesized to confer cognitive benefits on its users. In fact, those who like to toss back a few breath-freshening big ones once the sun is over the yardarm may find themselves running afoul of the law, according to a report on CNN.com. A 50-year-old woman was arrested after failing a sobriety test after a traffic stop for erratic driving on her way through Adrian, Michigan. The tippler told the arresting officers she had quaffed three glasses of the mouthwash Listerine before setting out for the car ride. Her blood alcohol level was more than three times the legal limit. The alcohol content of the original formula Listerine is 26.9%, according to the website straightdope.com, a percentage that translates to 54% proof, or 54 proof. It is unclear why the woman chose to imbibe Listerine, but the facts supported her story. The police found the bottle in the back of her car, agreed to drop the charges, having an open intoxicant in the vehicle, thus making it safe once again for the rest of us who enjoy a gargle while behind the wheel. Just remember to roll down the window before spitting. Very cute. Well, thought that was a humorous note to end Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us. Hope to see you again tomorrow on the Tyranny Response Network.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.